So here's a question for you guys. As we're going to dive into to the second part of a series we've been doing on Acts, the book of Acts. We're going to be doing this all school year. So we're going to really get into this book. We are going to glean what we can. We're going to learn a lot about the birth of the church in the New Testament. But in the very first chapter, we're going to read it in a minute. The church is waiting. What's going to happen? What do we do? What does this look like? And so here's a question for you. Do you ever feel like you don't know what to do? You ever? Never? Never? No one in the room ever feels like that. Yeah, right. Yeah. My father-in-law visiting from Montana today. He's one honest guy in the room who will admit every time the kindergartners walk in, they don't know what to do. What are we doing? I actually felt sorry for the kindergartners that go to school right. I live right by Audubon School. And there's this home on the corner right across the street from the school. They do a haunted house for Halloween. And they started decorating for their haunted house on August 31st. They're serious about this. And it will keep getting more and more elaborate through the whole month of September and October. And on the very first day of school, imagine being a kindergartner. You've never gone to real school before. And you show up, and right across the street from your school is this home with this scary-looking fence with skulls all over it. Imagine being a kindergartner thinking, I don't know what to do. I just imagine the poor kindergarten teachers having to try to address this. Like, it's okay, kids. Those aren't real people. But we've all felt like that. You are not the only one who has thought, I don't know what to do next. What do I do? Well, that's exactly where the church is. This early days, Jesus is gone. He's just returned to heaven. He's told them, wait for the Spirit. The Spirit is going to be poured out on the church, but don't go anywhere yet. Wait in Jerusalem. So what do you do? And last week we talked about this a little bit. What do we do when we face the unknown? Even when you're waiting on a great promise from God, do you just step out and go for it? What we talked about last week is the answer is we pray, and we pray together in an atmosphere of faith. I'm not going to re-preach that message, but I want to tell you a little story. This is in the 4th century B.C. 4th century B.C. So before the church was born in its New Testament, New Covenant sense. Harold Lamb tells it in this story about Alexander the Great. Anyone heard of Alexander the Great? He was a leader of an empire, yeah? And he's a Greek, Macedonian Greek guy. And they conquered much of the known world, 4th century BC. And they're walking along, destroying cities, taking over nations, you know. Walking along, you know, just doing their stuff. Well, in around 330 BC, his army, they've conquered much of the known map. Much of what they knew from their Greek maps, they had conquered it. And they find themselves facing this range of mountains. And one of the scouts, he comes back and he says, we have a problem. We have marched off of our maps. We have marched off the map. What do we do? Maybe we should turn around and we should go back, because we are now in completely uncharted. They weren't in water, but they're in uncharted waters to them. Now, there were entire peoples they had yet to meet and discover. But they're facing, they didn't know it was the Himalayas, but it was the Himalayas. And they're looking at this and going, we're supposed to go that way? And Alexander the Great said this to his men. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I've seen it written down different ways. But essentially it says this. Mediocre armies conquer the map. Great armies march off the map. And he challenged his men to move forward into unknown territory. And so it brings us back to the question, what do we do when we face the unknown? What do we do? The fears of life, the what ifs, even the what happens. How we face them and what we do can lead us into great adventure if we're willing to say, okay, God, what are you doing? Let's follow him in faith. Now let's read this. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem. Right before Jesus returned to heaven, he had told them, wait in Jerusalem. So they're just obeying. They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. We said this last week, not Judas that betrayed Jesus. There were actually two Judases. This is the one that was not the betrayer. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. This must have been a fairly big room. 120 of them gathered together. And he says, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. That's gross. It's right there, but it's still gross. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms. Remember, Peter's speaking to these 120. For it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it. And let another take his office. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So these guys are waiting. They're waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And I already asked the question, what do you do when you're waiting? What do you do when you're not sure what to do next? What do you do? Let me word it another way. How do we get faith when we aren't sure what to do? How do we pray? How do you pray in confidence? What do you do when God has led you off the map and you're not sure what's coming next? You're not really sure, where are we going? You might be thinking that right now. Where are you going with this? What do we do? I'm going to tell you the very first thing you do. You go to the scriptures. These guys are waiting. All they know is Jesus said, wait. Wait in Jerusalem. The Spirit's coming. You're going to go to the world. You're going to go to the ends of the earth. But wait till the Spirit comes. So how do you wait? What do you do when you're waiting? When Peter stands up, he says, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled. Guess what Peter was doing in the waiting? He's searching scripture. What do you do when you're waiting and you're not sure? What do I do next in life? That question for you could be all over the board. I know in my house, one of the things we're talking about a lot these days is, what universities are we looking at? What school is Gabriel Meek going to be talking about and looking at? What school is he going to go to? Micah Jones is having the same conversation. Where am I going to go to school? What do you do when you're not really sure? You know that I think school is what's coming next, but what do you do in the meantime? That question for you could be different. What do I do with my children? How do I raise my children? Do I have children? Hopefully, if you're a parent and you have children, you know that you have children. Should we have children? When should we have children? What do you do when you're in the waiting moment? I'm not sure what comes next. I feel like I'm a little off the map. I don't have a specific word from God that says thou shalt have 2.5 children. Okay. What do you do while you're waiting? What do you do when you're trying to figure out, do I take that job? Do I take the new shift at that job? I submit to you guys, we do exactly what they did. They're all together praying, and we hit on that last week. They're praying together. They're spending time together. They're not going Lone Ranger. They're not trying to figure it out just, it's my wisdom alone and I'm going to God. No, they are together seeking God. But it's not just like, we're listening. They are in the Word. And Peter says, brothers, it is written. A people who are seeking God together in an atmosphere of prayer can expect to hear from God through the scriptures. You can expect that God is going to lead you and he's going to direct you when you're connected, when you are together. I like that he said this also in verse 16. He didn't just say, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled. He says, the scripture which the Holy Spirit spoke. Now, these guys are waiting. God said, Jesus spoke to them and said, wait for the Spirit. Spirit, you're going to be baptized in the Spirit not many days from now. Wait in Jerusalem until this happens. But they recognize something. While they're waiting for whatever this is going to look like, and just keep in mind, they couldn't go read Acts chapter 2. You might be looking ahead and thinking, we know what's coming. They had no idea. So they're off the map. They're off the grid. They're in uncharted waters. What do? You go back and Peter says, guys, the scripture that the Holy Spirit spoke, this is just as inspired as Acts chapter 2. And you might be thinking, what is he talking about? Go read it. The scriptures are what we go to. When you feel like you're off the grid, you're off the map, do I make this decision? It feels right. Or maybe it doesn't feel right. How do we weigh that? These guys are trying to figure out, what do we do? We're supposed to be setting up like the new covenant people of God. And Jesus had chosen his 12. He had picked these 12 guys that are with him, he did it on purpose, establishing this is the people of God in the earth. Think back toward the 12 patriarchs of Israel. Jesus is doing something, but one of them's dead. One of them betrayed Jesus. Now what? We are setting up this new community, the people of God moving forward, all 11 of us. Wait a minute. And so they come to God and they're like, what do we do? What do we do? And they search the scriptures, and in the pages of scripture that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, they begin to find leading and direction for what to do. So what do you do with that? Okay, we've gone. We're going to go to Scripture. Now what do? We listen to what the Spirit will teach us through the Scriptures. Peter comes to them and he actually quotes from two Psalms. He quotes from Psalm 69 and he quotes from Psalm 109. And he puts them together. He says, the Spirit spoke this through the mouth of David. May his camp become desolate and let there be no one to dwell in it. He's like, this totally applies to what happened to Judas. And then he goes, but Psalm 109 also says, let another take his office. So they're going to Scripture, and Peter's listening. He's listening. God, what do you want to teach me? What do you want to teach me for us together? He listens to what the Spirit is teaching him. Now, some great things, just to remind you. When you go to Scripture, you're going to hear a couple of things over and over and over and over, and it doesn't really matter where you go. You're going to rediscover God is sovereign. God is in control. Imagine these guys. Judas has been one of their best buds. They've hung out together for like 3 years, living life together, traveling together, seeing Jesus do amazing things, telling the stories together, going out, healing the sick together, casting out demons. Like, it's crazy stuff. And this guy betrayed him? That's got to make you scratch your head. What do we do with this? We thought we were going to go forward together, and now this guy's betrayed us and he's dead. And Peter goes to the Scriptures and he says it had to be this way. God told us in advance. The Holy Spirit spoke in the Scriptures. Guys, God is in control. We sang it this morning. You are in control. You are in control. Do you know that nothing that happened that Judas did surprised God in any way? Guys, the same is true in your life. And you might be in that place going, what do I do? The disaster that has happened in my life, things that have happened, it's like, total, this can't be. Like, how could God have anything to do with this? Peter goes before his brothers and sisters, these 120, and he says, guys, it had to happen this way. You know how he came to that kind of confidence, that kind of faith? He went to the Scriptures. We've got to root our lives into the Word of God, not just how we feel, or we will be blown all over the place with circumstances and culture. So what do these guys do? Peter says, guys, it had to be this way. God is sovereign. Even over Judas's sin, God is sovereign. Even over wickedness and tragedy, God is sovereign. And they applied these two Psalms to their situation. They applied Scripture to their situation and said, okay, I guess we're going to choose somebody else. And they brought it to God. And here's the third thing that we do while we're waiting. All of Acts chapter 1 here that we just read is in the context of waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Waiting for the Spirit of God to be poured out on the church. There's great things coming. There's great promise coming. But what do we do on Monday? What do you do when you go to work tomorrow and you're waiting for the next thing that God's going to do? What do in the meantime? You act in faith within the parameters of the Word of God. Did you hear that? on Monday when you go to work, or on Tuesday when you go to work, or on Wednesday when you're exhausted and it's the middle of the week and you're thinking, is Friday ever going to get here? What do? We act in faith based on what we know to do from the Word of God. There might be a lot that you don't know what to do. Coulter's got to be thinking about, what law school am I actually, what am I going to be looking, which one do I do? Which one do I not go to? In the meantime, we do what we know to do. So Jesus had said, wait, and they waited. But they did not wait passively. This isn't like, God is sovereign, so I'm going to put my head in this hole over here, and I'm going to hang out, and when God moves, I'll go with it. It's not a passive waiting. There's an active waiting. They are together. They're seeking God together. They're praying together. They're searching the Scriptures. And in that place, they can act in faith. So they prayed, they consulted Scripture, and they made a decision. This is really deep stuff, isn't it? What do you do when you don't know what to do? If you're not sure about the big things, you pray, you search the Scriptures, and you make decisions within the parameters. It reminds me of King Jehoshaphat in the 9th century BC. He's a Jewish king, and he's facing this enemy military force that can just wipe them off the map. And he's like, he literally says this. This is his prayer, great prayer of faith. Oh God, we don't know what to do. Right? That's what he says. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Now, I'm not preaching that text today, but I'll just tell you the end of the story. All those other armies that were going to attack them attacked each other, and the Jewish army came to the battlefield and saw them all dead. That was how it ended. And they spent 3 days picking up all of the weapons and the food and the plunder that these armies had taken. They spent 3 days just picking up the plunder, and they went home. You might not know what to do, but keep your eyes on the Lord, and you can make small decisions while you wait. Isn't this deep stuff? Let me put some feet to this. Practicality to this. We said, okay, as a people, we want to hear from God. We don't want to just spin our wheels and do religious stuff. Let's have religious meetings. Let's have Sunday morning meetings. Why do we do that? Hopefully not just because we should. We have meetings because we want to meet together. We want to hear from God together. So we said, all right, guys, if we're going to really base what we do on God's leading, maybe we should apply Acts chapter 1, where we get together and we pray and we listen, what will God say to us? And then we act. We might carry a promise that says you're going to impact the nations, but what do? While we're just establishing a local church in Spokane, what do we do in the meantime? Can I say it's really no different from them? We emphasize and purpose in our lives, we are going to be together. We're going to pray together. We're going to search the Scriptures together. And then we're going to act based on that. That's why we have community groups. We say, we actually mean this. We really want to do this. And we're going to begin to have, once a month, starting on, I wrote it down, October 7th, rather than our community groups meeting that week, we're going to meet together right here, and we're going to pray, and we're going to seek God, we're going to worship Him, we're going to meet with God together. and we'd like you to be here. We'd like you to rearrange your schedules to be here, and let's seek God together. Let's meet with him. Let's hear from God. And then as a church, the decisions that we're making moving forward as we're waiting on bigger promises, we be sure that even our little decisions are rooted in scripture, rooted in prayer. So let me remind you of this. You and me, we are finite beings. Does anyone disagree with me on that? I mean, maybe like, dude, I was like the god Ra in a former life. We are not divine, eternal beings. Well, there's a sense in which in Christ you get to become eternal. You get to live forever. But we are finite, limited beings. That means there are going to be even more times in your life where you don't know what to do. God designed you that way so that you're dependent on him. I'm dependent on him. I can't just say, guys, here's the plan. I've got life mapped out. I've got like the next 75 years and such and such a date. This is my last day, and that's when I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to heaven. But in the meantime, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this, and it's all amazing. No, I am finite, just like you, and I don't know what's coming. But I know the God we can go to, and he's given us, when we're in uncharted waters, and you're thinking, how do I discipline my kids in this situation? Because I'm really afraid this might be child abuse. I don't know what to do now. He's not left us on our own. He's given us instruments for when we're in uncharted waters. Peter took advantage of it. You can take advantage of it. Even though I guarantee you there are going to be more times where you don't know what to do, there will never be a time in your life where God leaves you on your own to figure it out. Did you hear that? There will never be a time when God will leave you on your own to figure out what to do. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. If you will come to him, just like these guys did in Acts chapter 1, come to him, come together with the people of God, seek him, root it into the scriptures, God's going to lead you. He's going to lead us just like he did them. Now, this is kind of dangerous stuff to throw out there. Why is this so dangerous? It's because of the word that we put in there, together. In the United States, what can be a bit, it's built into us from the time we're little. We talk about the Declaration of Independence, right? And the individualistic mindset that we are often raised in, it's rooted deeply into the psyche of who Americans are. I'm going to go hear from Jesus. It's me and Jesus, me and Jesus. The problem is, all through the New Testament, it's we and Jesus. It's a context of family together. And why do I say it's dangerous? It's because we're challenging cultural idols to say, we're going to search the word together. We're going to pray and hear from God together. Ooh. It's something we have to, in this culture, we have to continually hit that drum. Beat that drum. Together, 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 together. So imagine a group of people committed together to one another, committed to prayer to one another, committed to responding, not just hearing, but responding to the word of God together. Imagine what would happen. When it comes to practical things, let's go to that next slide. Practical things where we say, What school do I choose? What career path do I follow? Who do I marry? How do I raise and discipline my kids? How do I invest and spend my money? And you could fill that with a whole lot more questions. Do I trust this guy in this business deal? Do I not? You could just fill that in with lots of questions. If we say, okay, what if we're trying to find the answers to these questions, and we say we're going to come together and we're going to actually seek God together about them. What? It takes it from reading Acts chapter 1 to actually applying this in our lives. Now I'm meddling, aren't I? now we're getting after it. Wait, what? Yeah, we could apply this in our life and say, I'm trying to figure out what to do, and I'm just looking at my questions. I tried to find questions that would kind of cover the full gamut. How do I invest in and spend my money? What if we sought God about that together? What if we rooted those decisions in what we know His Word says about money? What if we did that? I bet God would meet us there. I bet God would lead us forward there. And I bet God would take care of us. Here's what we want to do. We're going to wrap this. You might be in a spot where you're like, I really do have big questions in life. I'm trying to figure out what comes next. I'm trying to figure out what to do. Maybe you've been there for a while and you kind of spin your wheels and like, man, I just can't seem to get clarity, and I've tried this and I've tried this and I've tried this, and I need to hear from God. I'd love to pray with you. Why don't you bring that to your community group on Monday at Brent and Anna's house, or bring that to mine on Wednesday, and we can even go deeper with that, and then we can pray into these things together and say, what does God's Word have to say about this? It's a powerful way to live life, dependent on God and committed to one another. Let's bow our heads. Father, I know there's questions in the room. There's big decisions that need to be made. And maybe even decisions that other people put pressure on us to make and decide. And we're going, man.